We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Week 13 of the NFL is upon us, and we're here to talk the entire DFS slate for Sunday coming up. On that call coming up next on the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Join us. Happy Friday morning, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. We're sponsored by No House Advantage. We appreciate that. This is the DFS version. We'll be talking about the entire NFL slate on Sunday from a DFS perspective. I am Scott Jensen, joined as always by Ryan Belongi on Friday mornings. Ryan is gracing us with his presence, taking a break from the World Cup. Ryan, I was away last week, but I noticed you won. Was that two $20,000 DFS contests in the World Cup?
Yeah, Scott, that was two $20,000 scores. Yeah, first place in two of the big tournaments last week. Yeah, feels really good. You know, I could have never expected the World Cup to go this well, and obviously it's only about halfway over.
Right.
But yeah, it feels great to get a couple wins. Unfortunately, not as prepared as usual for NFL, but we got a really nice slate on Sunday. I think we can break it down nicely.
Yeah, I think it might be my favorite, just like fun to talk about slate. At least we've had in at least a month or two. We've had a lot of slates where like there's, you know, one or two high total games. There's like one marquee game. We have really good games this week. I mean, Chiefs and Cincy is a great game. You'd be like, oh my gosh, it's the best game of the day by far. But you have Niners-Dolphins is a really fun and interesting game too. Jaguars-Lions is weirdly like a really interesting game too. So there's a lot of fun games. I'm looking forward to the slate. You know, we've gone in a lot of weeks recently. We're like, oh, well, you know, there's one or two quarterbacks you might want to play, and you got to figure out what to do. There are like five quarterbacks that I could see, five or six. I mean, and there's some sneaky ones too, but there's like four or five guys we think would be popular, which spreads out the roster ship really nicely. So let's take an overall look at the slate, hoping to break through. I was top 100 in the $50 red zone the last 2 weeks on DraftKings. I can't quite see to get over the top, but
close though.
I was 45th last week with no Josh Jacobs too. It was like,
brutal. Oh.
And I wasn't gonna win, but I was up a little bit higher, and he broke that 85 yard at the end. I was like, yeah, well, that's not gonna help the cause right there. But so doing well, but hoping to break through on one of these weeks, and hoping to get to your level with some big wins for sure. But 12 games on the slate this week. We've got eight early, four in the late window are actually really fun. Both the Chiefs, Chiefs, Bengals, and Niners, Dolphins, and Chargers, Raiders are all in that window. So it's gonna be a fun four game window. Cardinals and Panthers are on a bye. I don't think anybody will miss either of those teams, so we're okay there. Primetime games, we had the Bills beating the Patriots last night. Colts, Cowboys Sunday night. Surprised that game wasn't flexed out, but I guess the Cowboys are a big draw. And then Saints, Bucks on Monday night. So we don't really lose much on those games. Bills and Cowboys are fun teams, but the other ones are kind of like we're okay losing those. High total games. We've got the Chiefs and Bengals mentioned at 53. Jaguars, Lions, 51. Chargers, Raiders, 50.5. Three games over 50. In the past few weeks, I like dropped the over-under number that I considered a high total. It's like, anything over 46, over 47. Three games over 50, Ryan, this week. Some legit big scoring games.
Yeah, it's awesome to see. I mean, last week, 48 was the highest total. And, you know, every week on here, maybe we have one game that hits 50 and we're struggling to find games that we want to stack. Well, there's plenty of options here.
Yeah.
Even some of the games that don't have 50 totals, I mean, are intriguing at least. You know, we got Deshaun Watson coming back for Cleveland. I mean, just crazy that the first matchup is in Houston. I don't know how that happens. But yeah, like a lot of games to choose from. It's tough. Like I had a tough time narrowing it down for what I want to do. And I'm still not sure that I know.
Yeah, I started out, well, I'm like, of course I'm going to stack this. And as I got into it, I'm like, oh, but I really like this. And I like this. So it's, yeah, those of those three top games, is there one that you really think you're going to focus on? I mean, I think everybody's going to like Chiefs and Cincy. I found myself really liking Chargers Raiders as I got into it.
Yeah, I like all of them. And I think I, you know, sort of decided on Jacksonville Detroit if I had to pick one. And it's only because everyone in that game is cheaper than they are in those other games. You know, like I'd love to stack Kansas City and Cincy, and maybe I will, but, you know, Mahomes and Kelsey are so expensive, and even Chase and Higgins are expensive. You don't really know what's up with Chase. But, yeah, this Detroit game, you know, Jacksonville, they got Etienne cheap, assuming he's healthy. He's going to be popular. He looks like one of the best running backs. The quarterbacks are cheap in that game. It's a good spot for St. Brown and Christian Kirk and Zay Jones. Maybe you can even take a chance on one of the Lions running backs. So I was looking at that game, at least for a few pieces. But yeah, talk to me about that Chargers-Raiders game.
Yeah, if it was a regular week, you'd think just like Lawrence, Kirk, and come back with St. Brown would be just an obvious, like, oh, that's what I'm starting with, and I'll build around that and figure it out. But you just have other options. I just think Chargers Raiders is going to go over that number. I think they're going to go back and forth. I think the Raiders have showed us something the last couple of weeks. They're playing a little bit better, and the offense is playing better. Derek Carr has multiple touchdown passes, I think, three or four straight games. Justin Herbert looked really good last week. I know they're still a little bit of dink and dunk, but they're at the point where they're just not running the ball. They're not even trying to run the ball. So you just like, that's good for DFS because I don't care what Justin Herbert's, you know, yards per attempt is if he's going to throw the ball 47 times. Like at some point, if he's going to throw the ball 28 times, yeah, that's a problem. We're not going to have yards. But I mean, last week he had 274 yards, three touchdowns. Keenan Allen's back. Austin Eckler had, 15 targets last week? So, like, that works out well for Herbert, too. Like, if you want to just have Eckler become a wide receiver, then that's fine if you're playing Herbert. So, you know, Herbert, one of those guys, or you go Carr and Adams and come back with Eckler, which is a really interesting play, too. Eckler's expensive, but, you know, kind of just locked into so many targets that you can work him really well. So, I think there's a lot of ways to play that game. And then you mentioned Chiefs Cincy. That was my issue there, was just everybody's expensive. I think if I go with that game, we'll get into sacks and stuff. I think I'd go the opposite way. I think I'd go Burrow, and then I'd come back with someone. There's a couple guys on the Chiefs that I do like that are really cheap. There's one especially that I think is going to be the play this week. But so, yeah, I think that all three are fun. I love that we have three different options. And you mentioned the other games. Like, you've got Browns, Texans, 47. Niners Dolphins is 46.5. That's an interesting matchup because you've got, you know, one of the better defenses, the Niners, against one of the better offenses in the Dolphins. So it's really interesting there. And then you got another couple games in the middle. You know, Green Bay and Chicago, Jets and the Vikings, Tennessee and Philly, all in the mid 40s. There's a lot of games this week you can play guys from.
Yeah, there really is. You know, games we didn't even mention, you know, the Eagles and Jalen Hurts are on the slate. You mentioned Justin Fields, home against Green Bay, maybe an okay spot. And, you know, no one's going to get to these games. The Vikings, no one's going to get to Justin Jefferson, really. It's a really fun slate, much better than we've had, or many more options than we've had in recent weeks.
Yeah, there is. And it's funny because these low total games, we do have a few of those, become just so much less appealing when you have so many other interesting games. There are some games here where, you know, maybe a piece here and there, but really not much. Steelers Falcons is 42. Washington and the Giants is 40.5. Broncos Ravens, you know, every Russell Wilson game is pretty much a low total this year. And it's not low enough. The Broncos have gone under the total like almost all their games. 39.5 there. Seattle and the what used to be the Los Angeles Rams is 41. They have nobody left. Aaron Donald's not playing. No Stafford, no Cup. It's just a different team there. I feel like there's probably two or three guys total in these games I'll talk about. But for the most part, with, you know, these eight games that are way, way higher totals, I think that these are kind of toss away games here at the bottom.
Yep, I agree. There's just so many good spots. The ones that we mentioned, you don't really, you know, there's a lot of opportunity cost. If you get away from one, you probably want to go to another and not one of these other games.
Yeah. Agreed there. Agreed there. So let's jump into it. But first, a note from our sponsors at Picket. Picket is a social bet tracking app that takes all the hassle out of tracking your bets and performance over time. Picket connects to every major U.S. sportsbook, DraftKings, FanDuel, and others, and DFS pick'em providers, PrizePicks, Underdog Fantasy, Thrive Fantasy, and more. Once you hook up your sportsbook, Picket does all the heavy lifting to slice and dice your betting data. You'll get detailed historical profit and loss, graphs, breakdowns by team, sport, player, bet type, and more. You also line shop for the best odds across your linked sportsbooks to make sure you get the most bang for your buck. When your bets are live, you can track the scores and stats of the games you bet on, as well as get player prop updates from most major player prop markets. No more switching between the sportsbook app and different score apps. By far the biggest differentiator is that Picket syncs history and bets from all legal major sportsbooks. There's no manual entry required to track your bets. Once you have your accounts linked, it's effortless from there. The social feed and community is what turns Picket from just a betting app to a home for betting, where you can learn from others, see what others are doing, and find verified content to inform your betting decisions. Visit Picket.com. That's P-I-K-K-I-T.com to download the Picket app today. So, Ryan, we have so many options this week. I don't think we have a lot of like super obvious, super high roster, roster percentage guys. We'll talk about a couple guys here that are, you know, kind of in the chalk boring plays. We kind of start out with. But the first guy I wanted to ask you about is kind of like the big elephant in the room here. Deshaun Watson is back. He's 6,500. Deciding on him morally aside, we're talking fantasy football here. What the hell do we do with him at this price? What are you thinking with Watson right now at 6,500?
Oh man, yeah, it's tough because it looks like a good price tag. You know, it's a really good matchup. You know, my first instinct was that I liked him at that price, but you know, looking at some of, you know, like his passing yard prop is not very high, and this could be more of a running spot for Cleveland, and you know, maybe he's a little bit rusty. And there's quite a few cheap quarterbacks in play, actually. So like for cash games, at least, it's a weird week where I, at least at the moment, don't see anyone that's going to be too chalky. At least I think people are going to look at some of these cheap quarterbacks, like Trevor Lawrence maybe against the Lions, Derek Carr against the Chargers. In those two high total games, they stand out.
Yep.
I think at the top, Joe Burrow, probably people will start looking at Joe Burrow, and then maybe Watson. So like just in that range, but I don't really think people will go above that for cash games. I don't know though. Nothing really stands out. We always have like some type of chalk at QB, but doesn't seem like that this week.
Yeah, I think that Lawrence will probably be the most popular, but I think it's going to be pretty spread out. I mean, 5,900 for him in that game against Detroit, when people are going to want to get some of these, the more expensive pieces for the bigger games. And if you want to play a Chase or a Higgins, or you want to play Tyreek, or you want to play Kelsey, Lawrence opens up a lot of stuff there. He's 5,900, just really, he kind of sticks out as really cheap. I think that it's spread out this week, but I think he's the one that people will gravitate towards. It's easy to stack and all that. So I think he'll be the most popular. Watson's fascinating. I mean, he led the NFL in YPA the last time he was playing. He hasn't played for a year and a half, though. I guess more than two years fully when it's actual game action, I guess. But didn't play last year, sat out last year, missed the first 11 games this year. Great matchup here. But you're right, I think they run the ball. I'm a lot more inclined to play Nick Chubb this week than I'm to play Deshaun Watson. I think rust has to be a real thing too. I mean, I know that he's really talented and, you know, he's been practicing, but I think that, you know, playing your first NFL game in that long has to be, I just think they're probably not going to fully unleash the full playbook and the full Deshaun Watson. So I think in this matchup, I'm going to avoid it for fantasy purposes.
Yep, I'm with you. Doesn't seem like there's that high of a ceiling there. You're right. There's got to be some rust after that much time off, and yeah, it's just such a good spot for Nick Chubb that, I want to target Chubb if I'm going to have a piece of that game.
Agreed. What about running back? Is there anybody that sticks out to you as like, oh, everybody's going to have that guy? I mean, you already mentioned the one that I thought it was going to be. Travis Etienne is 6,400. Obviously, there is an issue. He had the foot injury last week. He played five snaps and left. Apparently, he could have come back. They decided not to bring him back. There's the risk of like that happens again, but 6,400 against the Lions, that's a price that I think that people are going to have to gravitate towards.
Yeah. You know, assuming all reports are positive, you know, I think he'll be the most popular running back. It's just, apparently he's fine. Like you mentioned, the matchup's too good, and he should be priced over 7K for that matchup against Detroit. I mean, he was just 7,100 against the Chiefs. Yeah, other than that, there's not too much at running back either. Josh Jacobs, I think, will be the other popular one up top. Okay. He's all the way up to 7,900, but, I mean, we just saw that game last week. The volume he's getting is crazy in the passing game as well, and this matchup is great. This matchup is great for Jacobs in the running game. You know, the Chargers don't stop anybody on the ground. So, yeah, really good spot for Jacobs. I think those two will be the most popular. After that, I don't really see – I don't know anything. We might get a chance to play Jalen Warren. I don't know. Yeah. You know, if Harris is out, yeah, people might play Jalen Warren, so we'll have to check on that. But I don't know. Is there anyone else?
Yeah, for me, it's the two cheap guys that might really get boosted up if there's injuries. I think the first is Jalen Warren. He's, what, 4,900, I believe, on DraftKings. And I don't think Harris is going to play. Benny Snell came up on the injury report yesterday with a limited practice. So if he doesn't play, suddenly that ramps way up. I think that as long as Najee doesn't play, I think people will play Warren. The other one is Brian Robinson in Washington. He is 5,300. If Antonio Gibson, who missed the last 2 days of practice, doesn't play, I think that his off his workload last week and off if Gibson were to miss, I think he'd be pretty popular pretty quick at 5,300.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one. Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely if Gibson is out, especially after, yeah, Robinson caught passes last week, caught that touchdown pass. Yeah, definitely.
What about that wide receivers? Anybody that sticks out to you is like, oh, everybody's going to have this guy. Kind of we talked about the other positions. I think the one for me was Garrett Wilson, still 5,300. I played him last week. He was beautiful last week at 4,300. More expensive this week, but in a game, Jets-Vikings, kind of an interesting, fun game. I don't think we thought either of these teams would have quite this record coming into this game. I think we've got 7 and 9 wins between the two teams. Wilson at 5,300 still sticks out as like they should have boosted him more than that.
Yep, agreed. Garrett Wilson stands out the most. I played him last week as well. That was very nice. And yeah, up to 5,300 now. Still not enough. You know, now that they have a quarterback that can throw him the ball, it seems like at least. So yeah, I think he'll be the most popular. And then not too much else after that. Amon-Ra, I would say, would be the second most popular, at least as of now. You know, he's their whole offense against Jacksonville, like we always talk about. Jacksonville's defense has been really bad lately. That total is high, which has, you know, Amon-Ra projecting even better for that price.
Yep.
He's coming off a big game last week. So, yeah, I think other than that, though, nothing like clear cut. You know, I see some Kirk and Zay Jones, probably those Jaguars guys is in a good matchup.
Yeah, Zay Jones off the huge target game for Jay Zone. I think he's going to have to be pretty – he's 4,900. I think that people just see the targets from last week and you play him in that high total game. That's a good call there. Let's see. So let's get into it. We talked about who be popular, but let's get into all these stacks. There are so many ways to go this week. If we're just going favorite game stack this week, favorite quarterback to play with this receiver, what tops the list for you? Is it Trevor Lawrence or is it somewhere else?
It's tough. You know, I don't know that I have a favorite at the moment. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence is definitely one of them. And I have Trevor Lawrence in the lineup I'm looking at right now. So, yeah, let's talk about a Jag stack. It's just, it's really easy. You know, you can play Kirk or Zay Jones or both, depending on what else you do. You could even play Etienne with one of the receivers. And you don't have to, but the run back is easy for Detroit, obviously, with Amon-Ra. But I also think you could take a chance on one of the running backs. It's a weird week for running back where there's might not be too much chalk. We might have those cheap guys, but no one's going to play Swift. And he had 8 targets last week. And you got to think that he's going to keep getting more involved. I don't know. It's a good matchup. So I don't mind running it back with Swift. But Amon-Ra, you know, would be the priority. And if I don't play the quarterback in that game, I don't know, that seems like just pretty good. I know it's going to be very chalky, but just the Etienne St. Brown combo seems pretty good to me. And maybe you use it with a different quarterback stack.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Swift is fascinating. I can't figure it out. He played 24 snaps last week, so he's good. You know, he played 19, 21, 24 snaps last 4 weeks. But 8 targets on 24 snaps is wild. They're obviously using him when he's in the game, but man, I just hate how much he comes out. I hate that he comes out at the goal line. It's always Jamal Williams inside the five. I just, he's going to have to hit that big play, and he could do it. DeAndre Swift is awesome. I love the skill set. I love the talent, but man, you're really banking on extreme usage while he's in the game, and it could work. And it'll be low percentage. It could work really nicely, but, I hate when my guy comes out of the game when I have him in fantasy. But so you took Lawrence. I mean, that's clearly a key one there. I think that my favorite is probably Joe Burrow. I've gone back and forth between Burrow and Herbert, but I do like Burrow. Burrow's a little cheaper. He's 6,900. Great matchup. KC has allowed a top 12 quarterback in 6 of 8 weeks. He's getting Chase back. He's getting Joe Mixon back, which, obviously he's not going to throw to Mixon a lot, but, just opens up that offense even more. Kansas City's got to respect the run game a little bit more. Great game script. Kansas City's going to score. We know they're going to score. They score every week. They're going to have to, kind of go back and forth with them. Burrow only had one touchdown last week, but I thought he looked pretty good. He ran for 32 yards. He threw for 270. I think he had a pretty solid game, just didn't get the touchdown passes, but, 4 touchdowns the week before. The hard part is what you come back with. I think if you do it, I probably go Burrow and Higgins. I probably want to wait a week on Chase, but then you look at Chase against Kansas City and his history is insane. He had the 266 3-touchdown game that we all remember late in the season last year. But I maybe want to see some injury reports from practice week, make sure he's going to get a full load. I don't know if they're going to limit his workload, but I probably go Burrow with Higgins, and then I come back super, super cheap with Sky Moore. 3,100 this week. Kind of one of my favorite plays of the week. I think that I like how they're using Sky Moore right now, and he's just a really, really, really cheap part of this game. But Sky Moore at 3,100 has 12 targets the last 2 weeks. If you just tell me, you don't have to give me more than that. You give me 6 targets this week at 3,100 in the Kansas City offense, I would play him in a freaking second. I know they're rotating receivers a lot between Juju, MVS, Justin Watson, Sky Moore, but it seems like when Sky Moore's on the field, he's getting a lot of targets. They're using him. They're kind of drawing up plays for him. So give me Sky Moore this week. I just kind of ruined the cheap receiver aspect of the show right there, but I spoiled it. But that's where I'm going, and then I'm going to use my money elsewhere rather than coming back with Kelsey.
I love that. I was going to say Burrow if you gave me another chance, or if you didn't. I'm on that too. The only thing maybe different, I think I'm willing to take a chance on Chase. Okay. Just if he's not going to be popular, and assuming we don't hear anything negative, but yeah. The stuff I don't know, he was talking to me like someone who's pretty healthy and pretty confident when I heard him. I agree.
Is Jamar Chase ever not confident?
I guess. Good point. Right. What else is he going to say?
Right.
Love Sky Moore.
You're right. You're right, though, on Chase. It's a good point, because I think that he's priced high enough, and there's that, like, I'll just go with Higgins, like I just said. I think that'll be pretty prevalent. You probably get Chase at a pretty low number percentage wise.
Right. And, Justin Watson actually saw the most snaps out of all the receivers last week. They were easing Juju back in. I don't think that makes Justin Watson like a better play than Sky Moore or anything. I'll give another one that's, maybe not one of the trendy games, I guess, maybe a little bit off the board. And that's Justin Fields against my Packers. Mostly because we just know he has such a massive ceiling if he runs for over 100 and a touchdown. And then also we have Darnell Mooney out now. So I think it's really easy to just pair him with Claypool, who's only 3,800. Yeah. Should see a bunch more targets this week. And if you don't want to pair him with Claypool, you can use Kmet, who's only 3,800. We've already seen 2 ceiling games from Kmet recently. So I like the idea of Fields when nobody's going to play him, just because we've seen the ceiling.
Yeah, that's a good call. Apparently, Green Bay had some trouble stopping the running quarterback last week too. So there's that. They gave up 157 yards to Jalen Hurts last week. So yeah, it's the Packers defense can definitely be had. That's a good call. The Raiders Chargers stack. So we talked a little about that at the top, but Herbert 7,200, Derek Carr's 5,600. It's really tempting to drop just down to Carr and play Carr with Adams, and then play. You could go with Keenan Allen. You could go with. I think that DeAndre Carter is really interesting as a really cheap piece of that Chargers offense. Sneaky shootout potential here. I think we've kind of talked about that. Carr has multiple touchdowns in 4 straight games. And I think that Carr at 5,600, I think just everybody's going to, if they're going to go in that range, they probably just play Lawrence instead. So I think Carr goes pretty under-rostered there. if you want to go the more expensive way with Herbert, we talked about all the passes. He leads the league in dropbacks this year. They're throwing the ball a ton. The Raiders are really bad against the pass too. So I love that game. There's a lot of options this week. It's really a lot of fun. And then we didn't even mention the running quarterbacks. You mentioned Fields, and I was going to kind of group these guys together, but we have Fields at 7,400, Lamar's at 7,800. Lamar should have had a big game last week. He had three touchdowns dropped, two by Mark Andrews. It was a wild week where, you know, he had 89 rush yards. It could have been a really good week, but they just, you know, Andrews dropped two, and I think maybe Duvernay dropped one. No, I think it's DeMarcus Robinson dropped one, sorry. And then Jalen Hurts is 8,000. So we got these three kind of guys who have a big rushing floor. Hurts had 157 rushing yards last week. Hurts doesn't have 200 passing yards in the last 3 weeks. Kind of surprising with those weapons. They're not really throwing the ball. But I just think you mentioned Fields, but I think Fields, Lamar, and Hurts with these big high total throwing games, I think these guys just get overlooked this week. And that's always an interesting proposition in a big tournament.
Yeah, totally agree. They're going to get overlooked, you know, maybe 5%, maybe even less in some stuff, and huge ceilings. Yeah, I really like Hurts, and you have A.J. Brown, who nobody's going to roster going against his old team.
Yep.
You know, he has like a 3-touchdown game in him all the time, and you can run that back with Treylon Burks or a cheap wide receiver. So, yeah, I like that stack. I got to piggyback a little on the Vegas Chargers game. Like, I just like that game to go over. I agree with you. Like, the Raiders had been one of the slower teams all year, but a lot of that was sort of down to matchup. We saw last week they finally get a matchup against a faster-paced team, and, I mean, look what happens. It's 40-34, and now the Chargers are even a little faster than the Seahawks. So, you know, they can draw it out of the Raiders where they can get in these shootouts. And yeah, I agree with you. I like that game to go over. Like Derek Carr, because I really like Davante Adams. He's my favorite wide receiver in that range.
Yeah, I agree there. Real quick, super cheap at quarterback. If you wanted to get really different here, I don't think you need to this week. Carr's already cheap enough. Lawrence already cheap enough. But if this were a week where there weren't many options, I could have gone into a whole speech here about trying to talk you into Kenny Pickett at 5,200 Atlanta, but I just don't think with the options this week I'm going to quite get there. But I thought he's starting to look a little better. And Atlanta is a good test because they do not pressure the quarterback at all. The 31st in pressure rate, they allow 7.5 YPA. As a dart tournament play, I really like him this week. I just wish it would have to be a week where there are a few fewer options for me. I think that with Carr and Lawrence right there, it's really tough to get to. But I think Pickett and Mike White at 5,400 off the big game last week are interesting. Minnesota is really bad against the pass. They've allowed multiple touchdowns in 5 of 6 games. They're last in the NFL, allowing 8.3 YPA. So, you know, White against the Vikings, Pickett against Atlanta in a regular week, I think would be playable. I just think I can get there this week, but they are, I'll admit they are intriguing. I think it'd have to be a different week for me.
Yeah. You know, Pickett might even be in play this week, just without Harris. And, you know, he runs too. He runs more than I thought.
Yeah.
The last one I'll ask you about, really fun game in San Francisco.
Yeah.
What about Jimmy G? Maybe Jimmy G, they don't have Eli Mitchell, so you could play like Jimmy G, one of those receivers, or Kittle, maybe McCaffrey, maybe Tyreek.
Yeah, and Debo might not play, which would really narrow the passing tree. So you go Jimmy and Ayuk. I'm fascinated. I am excited for this game. There's been a little trash talk back and forth. Apparently these teams, Raheem Mostert kind of started the whole thing with like some bad things about the Niners. It's really weird because they gave him an opportunity and paid him too. It's a very strange, strange beef there. Apparently he didn't like how they treated his knee injury, but yeah, I think it's a fascinating game. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to play Tua just because, I mean, I love Tua and their receivers are so good. I think what I'll probably do is play one of the receivers, but I just don't know if I really want to stack against the Niners defense. The Niners have been really, really good on defense. 4 straight games, not allowing a point in the second half. They've also faced some bad quarterbacks. When they faced Mahomes, they got smoked. So it's just that I think like the Niners defense is great, but like let's see it against a really good offense too. And McDaniel obviously knows their defense really well. He's gone against it in practice for years. So, it's a fascinating matchup. I don't think I'm going to play it in DFS just because there's so many other options. But, man, it's a really fun game. And I think that I probably want to go Tyreek or Waddle rather than stacking the game. And I do like Ayuk on the other side. If I want to kind of like a standalone guy, if Debo doesn't play, I really like the chance of going Ayuk. I think the Niners are going to have to open it up a little bit. They've shown that they will if they need to. They won't if they don't have to. They'll sit on the ball if they can. But they're going to have to score in this game, and you're going to have to open it up a little bit.
Yeah, I just think – they'd be more intriguing than usual with with some guys out. You know, you mentioned if Debo was out and they have Eli Mitchell out now, and so it's just, it's easier. You can, might be a spot for C-Mac or Ayuk or even Kittle.
Yeah, I like it. It's a fun week with a lot of really good options. Let's jump into the receivers and running backs. But first a note from our sponsor at No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning big cash prizes. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot at hundreds of thousands of dollars every week. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20x your entry if you hit all your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up with promo code NHAWIRE. That's NHAWIRE at NoHouseAdvantage.com or download the app on the App Store to get a first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You don't want to miss out on this. So, Ryan, we do this every week, taking a look at the No House Advantage. It's a fun over-under, you know, kind of prop betting sites that it's really fun. Give me a couple of the over-unders. I shot you with some numbers there. What are a couple of these that you really want to take advantage of this week when you're playing at No House Advantage?
Yeah, I like how you let me go first so I can just take the easy ones.
Yeah, I know. You're already going to take one of mine, so I get it.
So, Nick Chubb. Let's start with Nick Chubb. His number's 94.5 rushing yards. Me and you continuously talk about how bad the Texans' run defense is. And, you know, it just makes all the sense in the world for them to lean on Chubb in Watson's first game back. So, yeah, I think he goes over 94.5 there. And then the other one, yeah, Garrett Wilson, 58.5.
That number's way too low. I was typing that out, I was like, this is just the easiest one out here.
I mean, that number is outrageous, right? He's got more than 90 in 3 of his last 4. So, I mean, we know Garrett Wilson. We already talked about him. Underpriced here, number one receiver, new quarterback in there. Matchup against Minnesota where they should have success throwing. They should have to throw. So, yeah, Wilson over 58. But, yeah, those are easy ones. I don't know. Give me a couple more.
I'm going to go with someone we talked about already, too. I'm going to take Trevor Lawrence over 1.5 pass touchdowns. And you give me that against Detroit. I really like Lawrence looked so good in the fourth quarter last week. Like, I'm hoping that, like, maybe that was his breakout moment. Like, the sky's the limit now. He looked great coming back in that game against I think it was Baltimore. So I'm going to go over 1.5 pass season. He throws 2 this week. So give me that. And then I'm actually going to play an under, Ryan. I know you're probably in shock and awe over there. I'm going to go under on Derrick Henry rushing yards of 92.5. At Philly this week, I think the game script is going to get him a little bit. I think Philly's going to be able to score a little bit. He has under 90 rushing yards in 3 games in a row after 5 straight over 100. 2.8 yards per carry last week. So last week was hidden a little bit. He was only 17 for 38, but he had that long pass, which kind of made up for it. Almost scored a touchdown, but 3 for 79 passing. So that number is really high. So I'm going to go for game script reasons and recent form. I'm going to go Derrick Henry under 92.5. Just to shock you with an under out of nowhere.
I love it. I love it. That number is way too high, so it makes sense.
We thank No House Advantage for their sponsorship all year long. Really appreciate that. Also, a quick note from our sponsors, the Blue Wire Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So, Ryan, let's jump into running back. There are a lot of options. We talked about there's a lot of games that are high totals. So we have a lot of expensive choices this week. Just looking at like 7,900 above. I'm using that number just because Jacobs is 7,900. We got him at 7,900. Nick Chubb at 8,000. Climbing the list here, Derrick Henry, 8,100. You probably guess I'm not going to play him this week. Saquon Barkley, 8,200. Austin Eckler, 8,500. And C-Mac, Christian McCaffrey, 8,600. Sound like the knee is okay with him. What are you doing in this range? And don't take Nick Chubb first.
Yeah. I think we're both going to be on Chubb. But, so we have Josh Jacobs here who, it's hard not to like, but he's the same price as Chubb. And Jacobs is going to be very popular, one of the most popular backs, probably three or four times as popular as Chubb.
Really? Wow. I haven't seen the numbers yet. That seems way too high to me.
In some stuff, yeah. It's early, obviously, on Friday, right. But you can see, like, Jacobs being 30, maybe more percent in some stuff, and then you'll have Chubb maybe 10-ish percent in some stuff. And, yeah, for the same price, so definitely Nick Chubb. We just talked about how good his matchup is. And then up top between those two, so last week, Scott, on this podcast, I told everybody that Eckler – might not see quite as many targets with the return of Keenan Allen. Might not have quite as much receiving upside with Keenan Allen, catching some short passes. And, that was just so wrong. The Chargers just, they're never going to stop throwing him the ball the way they play.
He only had five carries, though. It was crazy.
Yeah, they just don't run the ball anymore, it seems like. He had six carries a couple weeks before that. I think he's only had more than 14 once in the last.
Like they have to get really game scripted into like forcing them to run the ball is about the only way.
Right, they would have to get like a big lead, or at least a lead. And the fact that Eckler's going to be pretty popular too, I'm just going to have to fade Eckler again. I like the passing game more in that spot. Like if I was going to stack that game, it'd be Herbert in the passing game with Jacobs maybe. But anyways, my point is I take a shot on McCaffrey for less ownership than Eckler. Just, I'm going to pay attention to the news there. But, assuming McCaffrey's healthy and maybe if we get one of those San Fran guys out, I think it could be a nice spot for McCaffrey when he's not that popular.
I think people are freaking out a little bit about the, quote, running back by committee with McCaffrey. I mean, he was splitting with Eli Mitchell, who's really, really good. Like, I think people don't realize that the only reason that Mitchell was getting so many carries is how freaking good he is. He's been great ever since he played, and he's just really good in that offense. So it's more of a faction of they wanted the Mitchell carries, and they don't want to get McCaffrey carries. But Jordan Mason, Tevin Coleman, Ty Davis Price are nowhere near Eli Mitchell, at least right now, in terms of how good they are. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. It's just a matter of McCaffrey with the knee. Like if the knee's fine, they say it's fine. Like I think he's a full workload guy. And I think he becomes a really big workload guy with Mitchell out. Jacobs is scary to me with the calf injury, although he had calf injury last week and got 39 touches. So apparently it loosened up pretty well, but yeah, I'm Nick Chubb here, 8,000. Great spot with Deshaun back. You got to think that they respect the pass game a little more than they did with Brissett. Although Brissett was pretty serviceable. Chubb ran really well last week in a tough matchup against Tampa Bay, 26 for 116 and a touchdown. My favorite stat of the week, and I think it was Rich Rebar at Sharp Fantasy Analysis, Football Analysis, where I saw this. Houston allows the most carries of 10-plus yards in the NFL, and Chubb has the most carries of 10-plus yards in the NFL. Like, you put those together and, like, holy hell, the upside for explosive plays here is just really big this week. You could see him hit a couple big ones. Houston did play the run pretty well last week against Miami. They played Jeff Wilson pretty well, but Houston allowed the most points per game to backfields. I love Chubb in this spot. I think he's going to be higher percentage than you do. I think that he's going to be. I think it's going to be a lot. I think he's going to get talked up this weekend. I think he'll be pretty high up there. The interesting thing with the guy we just talked about, I think that McCaffrey, Eckler, both interesting. Jacobs and Chubb. In between Barkley and Derrick Henry, like, nobody's playing them this week, right? Like, talking about opportunities to get some big name guys. They're going to have to be really, really low percentage this week.
Yep, you're right. I mean, I don't want to play him, but no one else really does either. I guess that's a reason, but yeah.
So what about this mid range here? We've got a lot of names in here. We got Dalvin Cook, 7,200 off some pretty quiet weeks in a row. Kenneth Walker in a good matchup at 7,000. The name that stuck out to me here, Aaron Jones at 6,900, feels a little underpriced to me. And then so of those three guys, then we'll drop down to the cheap guys here in a second. But if those three guys, do you find yourself gravitating towards any of them at all?
Yeah, I think Aaron Jones, especially because I was thinking about maybe a field stack, and then Aaron Jones would make some sense there. Dalvin Cook, he's projecting pretty well because this is the cheapest he's been all season now. You know, we never see Cook down at 72. So I get it if people like him at home against the Jets. You know, the Jets have a good defense, but yeah, it's still, you know, they're still home favorites. So I could see taking a chance on Cook. But, yeah, I think Jones for me.
Yeah, I saw Jones' price. I was a little bit surprised. I think maybe the fact that A.J. Dillon played a lot last week, it was the first like kind of big A.J. Dillon week, and he scored and played, had more touches than he had been getting. But Aaron Jones had 170 total yards and two touchdowns in their first game against Chicago. The Bears allowing 4.8 yards per carry, 15 rush touchdowns on the year. So, like, Jones sticks out to me for the talent and the situation, pretty good at 6,900. But Kenneth Walker's interesting, too, at 7,000. He wasn't very good last week, but it was okay fantasy-wise because he scored twice. He was 14 for 26. But, no, the Rams are good against the run, except the best defensive player in the world the last 10 years, Aaron Donald, is not playing this week. So that's a pretty big hole to fill. Walker's been under 3.3 yards per carry the last four, though. So, like, the big plays haven't quite been there that we saw, you know, the weeks before that, when right after Rashad Penny got hurt. But 7,000 workhorse role in a situation where they're going to be favored. They're pretty big favorites, even on the road. 7,000 Walker situational wise game script prize makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah. Wow. I wouldn't have even considered him if Aaron Donald was playing, but yeah, that's pretty significant news. Yeah. Going against that bad Rams team with, you know, the quarterback who might struggle to move the ball. I forget his name. Perkins.
Bryce Perkins.
Yeah, you know, it should be a pretty good spot for Seattle. So, yeah, I get that with Kenneth Walker. I don't think he's going to be too popular either. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he will be. I think with Jones, and we mentioned Travis Etienne below him, I think that it'll be a week where I think he slides through pretty well. And especially with, we talked about Jacobs and Chubb, like 1,000 more than him. There's just so many options this week that I think Walker slides through pretty nice. I think I'm gonna find a way to play some of him. We mentioned Etienne at 6,400. What about these other cheap running backs? Do you like? We got Miles Sanders 6,300, David Montgomery 6,200 off the 100. Had 100 plus total yards last week. Jeff Wilson's down here at 6,100. Then we got the cheap guys. We got Brian Robinson and Jaylen Warren. We both mentioned earlier that could be pretty interesting plays pretty quickly if the guys that they split time with miss time. But what are you doing down here in the cheap range? Say, we talked about ATN already. So, like, under ATN, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I think I would have to go with one of those cheap guys that we mentioned.
Me too.
They just look really good. And if I was going to be in this range. So, yeah, Robinson or Warren. Let's just, you know, besides them, I guess. The only guy, you know, well, you can make an argument for a lot of guys, but I would make an argument maybe for Isaiah Pacheco. Okay. Just if it's interesting in a Burrow stack, at least. Just, you know, he had 23 touches last week, and they were giving him carries around the goal line. He scored another touchdown. So, I mean, you could see a world where he runs in two touchdowns, and then you have a Burrow stack coming back with that.
I was surprised how consistent the carries have been from Jacob last week. He has 16, 15, and 22 carries last week. So they've really been using him. No targets, though. It's weird. He has one target the last 3 weeks. But he's getting the ball a ton. And that offense in that game, you're right, if you can get a cheaper running back piece of that, it becomes pretty interesting pretty quick. That's a good call. I like that one.
Thanks. Is there anyone else that stuck out?
Not really to me. I don't think I want to play anybody against the 49ers rush D, especially with Eric Armstead back. Like, Jeff Wilson could score. You know, he could get a couple close touchdowns, but, like, I don't think it's hard for me to play a running back against them. They just kill the run. And
I'm with you.
Yeah, they just Montgomery's interesting. You know, good games. Good back to my game since Khalil Herbert got hurt. 4 targetings the last 2 weeks. Green Bay's really bad against the run. They struggled against it. Like, a lot of that was Jalen Hurts last week. But still, they do struggle against the run. So I could see that. But, yeah, I think I go up a little bit to ATN, or I drop down to Robinson or Warren if the situations work out well. I think I'd probably just save the money and go down there for the price.
Yep, agreed.
Let's jump into receivers, but first a note from our sponsors at Monkey Knife Fight. Football is officially back on Monkey Knife Fight with all the NFL action you're looking for. And if college football is more your speed, they've got plenty of that too. On Monkey Knife Fight, there's no sharks, no salary caps, and no math. It's just easy to play, easy to win, daily fantasy player props. Join now at monkeyknifefight.com and get your first game free. Then use promo code RWNFL to get first deposit match instantly up to $100. So what are you waiting for? Join Monkey Knife Fight today. So as we talked about with running backs, we have a lot of options up top. It's been a lot of weeks this season. We haven't had many of those options, whether primetime games or buys. But we got a lot of guys up here too. We got Justin Jefferson, freaking great every week, it seems like, 8,900. Tyreek Hill, amazing every week, 8,800. Davante Adams, 8,700. So before we get to the 7,000 with a lot of guys, these three guys up top, do you find yourself building where you can get one of them? Do you have a favorite up here? I think you spoiled it earlier. I think it's going to be Adams. But what do you do with these really expensive studs?
Yeah. every week these guys are so hard to talk about. Obviously, yeah. Play Jefferson, Hill, Adams, of course. It's a fine matchup for all of them. I like Adams the most. I don't know. He's just been getting so many targets, and the Chargers' defense is just not good. And, you know, I like Renfro and Waller still being out. You just know the volume's going to be there for Adams. And I like that game. You know, it's a game that we've talked about a couple times, really could shoot out. It's tough to get up to that range. And if I'm there, I'm probably just going to play Adams. Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe I would play Hill if I use some 49ers, like I mentioned. I might play Hill if I had I might try to play Hill if I had a McCaffrey team, but I don't know how you fit Hill and McCaffrey into the same lineup.
That's expensive really quick, yeah.
Even that's tough. So, yeah, I think it's just Adams for me. I don't know. What do you think?
More importantly, I think are we in trouble on the Uruguay tiebreaker here if the matches end like this right now?
Oh, no.
Korea just scored on Portugal.
Oh, no. I wasn't even thinking of that.
I know they're tied in goal differential. I don't know what the tiebreaker is. Sorry for the World Cup drop in the middle there.
No, that's okay. I thought we were safe. I'm not sure.
I just saw a lot of Korean fans going crazy and celebrating, so I think it might have meant something there. But
I see they just scored. Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, there's like Korean fans literally crying in the stands right now. So that must be a good thing. We need Ronaldo to score a goal here real quick. So, sorry, live TV. Sometimes you get some moments, but I think for me, I really like Adams too. I think that'd be the play that I would go with. Look at the targets last 4 games: 17, 14, 13, 11. That's absurd for someone of his talent. Be getting the ball that much. He was 10 for 141 in a touchdown against the Chargers earlier this year too. Like, just great in this matchup. He had 11 targets last week. If for me, it's Adams, then Hill. You know how much I love Justin Jefferson, probably my favorite receiver. I thought he could be considered the number one pick overall in fantasy this year, but he's third for me this week. I hate to say it, but I'd play Adams and Hill ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Did I bum you out with the soccer update? Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's not like they were going to win the World Cup anyways, but
yeah, probably not. So the 7,000s is a really fun range at receiver this week. Jamar Chase, 7,900. His teammate T. Higgins in this range too at 7,200. A.J. Brown, 78. Jalen Waddle, 7,400. Amon Ross St. Brown, 7,100. What does one do in this range of the 7,000s here? Because there are a lot of big names and fun games.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to simplify it. You're right. I'm just going to simplify it. If I have Burrow, then I'll have one of these Cincinnati guys.
Yep.
But if not, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to have a Jaguar. And then so I'll just play Amon-Ra. It's probably an easy answer, and yeah, Amon-Ra will be pretty popular, but I'm going to roster him. I don't know. Tell me something different.
I love A.J. Brown this week. 7,800 against his own team. It's hard to get to, but it's a situation where teams tend to pass on Tennessee because it's tough to run on Tennessee. So I think that Tennessee, I would imagine, focuses on Hurts running after last week. You got to figure there's a big A.J. Brown week coming here somewhere. We had that 3-touchdown game, but he's been over 70 yards once in the last 7 games, I think, if I'm looking at that right. That's a really bad number for a guy that's this good. It's just like the situation with their offense just kind of works that way. He had the 156-3 and the 155 in week one, but that's the only time he's been over 100. He's a big blow-up game guy. I like him this week. I think that's against his own teammates. I think maybe they force the ball a little bit to him, you know, maybe a little narrative there. But it's hard to get away from Amon-Ra and Higgins in here too. But if I do, I think I'd probably go with A.J. Brown at 7,800. He's tough to get him in, but he's a fascinating play this week with the revenge game kind of going here. And he was not happy about how he left Tennessee either. So there's a little bit of angst in that one.
Oh yeah, I think it's a great call. Anytime you can get a guy that can put up the highest score on the slate and he's going to be, you know, less than 5%. Yeah, I think it's a great tournament play.
Question in the chat right now. Would you start Jeff Wilson, Isaiah Pacheco, or Rashad White this week?
Non-PPR?
I don't know. Non-PPR.
I don't know the situation with Tampa because they're not on this slate.
Yeah, I admit I haven't studied it very closely because we are not on the slate too. I don't think Fournette's going to play, but I think it's Rashad White. It's a really,
Wilson or Pacheco? I mean, if it's non-PPR, I don't know. I'm not a season-long guy, but I feel like Pacheco has a little bit more touchdown equity in this spot. I could be wrong, but
it's a pretty close one. I'm actually going to take Jeff Wilson. I think that I like the goal line carries. I like that. I like how involved he is. I don't love taking a quarter or running back against Niners at all, but. Oh, man, that's tough.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, you know, if Mostert was going to play or if these other guys.
I think Fournette's up in the air, too. If Fournette, okay. Oh, here we go. I'm going to give you an answer. If Fournette's ruled out, I'm going Rashad White. If Fournette plays, I'm going Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, I definitely, if Fournette's out, Rashad White.
Yeah. So in the mid-range at wide receiver, we've got a lot of big names in here, too. It's a fun range. Debo Samuel, 6,600. I'm a little worried about the quad / hammy, whatever's going on with him. It seems like he's like getting stretched out and coming back in and making a big play. That just always scares me when I'm playing someone. He might not play this week, too. The reports from practice were not quite as glowing as I was hoping for yesterday. It's a big game. I think he's going to try to play, but they may rest him. They got to lead the division now, and I think they may play it safe with him and try to get him fully going. Keenan Allen, 6,500. Amari Cooper, 64. There's a lot of guys in this range. I'm not going to list them all out, but what do you like in the 6,000? There's a lot of choices here.
Yeah. So I probably won't. You know, Amari's an interesting one, but if I'm not going to play Watson, then I probably won't play any Cleveland receivers, right? I like Christian Kirk as sort of a pivot off of Etienne for the same price. He'll be relatively popular, though. Ayuk is the one I'm looking at. If we get that news that Debo is out, you know, Ayuk, he still wouldn't be that popular. He wouldn't be as popular as some of these other guys, and I think it'd be a really good spot. So I'll be looking for that. What do you think?
I really like Ayuk this week, too. 6,100, 8 targets last week, 5 touchdowns the last 6 weeks. If Debo does not play, I think I really gravitate towards him. The Niners are going to have to open up the offense this week, and they can do it when they have the weapons to do it when they want to. Miami's going to score. I think that the Niners defense is obviously really good, but Miami's going to score. The Niners are going to have to score back. Christian Kirk, we've talked about a lot in this range, 6,300, ton of targets. Detroit really struggles with slot receivers. I always love Christian Kirk anyway. We talk about him a lot this year. He's been really good to us. So going back there for sure. One guy I want to ask you about, Devontae Smith in Philly, is kind of interesting. He's been very, very up in targets with the Dallas Goedert injury. Seems like he's the main beneficiary right here. His targets are 8, 9, and 9. He hasn't topped 100 yards since week 3, but you want to play someone completely different and off the map. He seems like he's trending really well with targets right now.
Yep, I'm totally okay with it. I think it makes a ton of sense. The other guys around him will be way more popular. Yeah, perfect sense. He's got a big ceiling for that price tag.
Yeah, I think so too. Before we get into the really cheap receivers, the guys in the 5,000s here, We mentioned Garrett Wilson. I think we both really like him at 5,300. Who else do you like down here in the 5,000? A couple names I like, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, so I'd be willing to take a chance on Josh Palmer if Mike Williams is out again, especially if you're stacking that game. I like George Pickens for 5,100. Yeah. And then, you know, I got a guy that nobody's going to play, and I get the reasons why, but I still think there's some merit in the larger field tournaments is Juju. I know they eased him back in. He didn't play too many, 39% of the snaps last week, only 3 targets. But if he were to get a full workload without Mecole and Kadarius Toney, you know, he's got 10 catch upside. He was seeing a ton of targets before that injury. So I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one. I want to ask you, what do we do? You're the Packers fan. Christian Watson's 5,200, 6 touchdowns the last 3 weeks. Hasn't topped 4 catches in a game, but man, when he scores, it's turning into Chris Carter here. Just catches touchdowns. What do you do with how do you feel about Christian Watson?
I mean, he's just been so efficient, right? Yeah. I usually don't chase stuff like that, you know, especially if other
touchdown,
people
are... The touchdown from Jordan Love was nice, though. He showed crazy speed down the side.
It was nice. Yeah, I agree. Watson's looked good. So I think for me, it might depend on the Romeo Doubs news. Okay. It seems like he might play, and I don't know. It'd be tough for me to play a Packers wide receiver when they're all healthy.
Yeah, I kind of agree there. I don't think I want to chase the full touch. I mean, the touchdown efficiency just has to drop. There's just no way around it. The guy I want to mention here, and he's a little pricier, Terry McLaurin, I still like at 5,800. Targets the last 6 weeks, 8, 8, 9, 11, 7, and 6. The problem is they're just not throwing a ton. So, like, it seems like that's kind of the ceiling is that they just don't throw the ball a ton. But I'm hoping maybe in this game, if the Giants can score a little bit, maybe they throw a little bit. But he had 6 targets last week. But McLaurin's always talented. I just feel like we never fully get that. Heinicke missed him on a touchdown last week. That was pretty wide open, like a 10-yard touchdown. He was like right there, and he missed him. But I think that McLaurin is playable, but I'd probably drop down to Wilson and Pickens myself also.
I don't know. I think that might be the best call. I think your McLaurin call might be the best call. I'm just thinking because 2 weeks ago against Houston, he was massive chalk, 5,900. Yep. Last week, he was still quite popular for the same price against Atlanta. Now he's busted twice in a row. Yeah. Everybody's going to be off him. I mean, I completely – yeah, it's just one of those – even I overlooked him because of how disappointing he was the last 2 weeks. Yeah, I think that's a great call. I think
he's too – he's too cheap for how good he is and should be. And I think that you can't pick on Dew, but, man, he – feels like he's due for a really big game.
I like the spots when a guy is just so chalky and then busts and then everybody forgets about him. I like those spots.
Yeah, I do too. Cheap wide receivers, under 5,000. There's a lot of names down here. We already mentioned Sky Moore way at the bottom at 3,100. Who else do you like in this range under 5,000? We also mentioned Zay Jones at 4,900, 14 targets last week. Aside those two guys, is there anybody else you like or just going to be those two guys for you?
Yeah, there's a couple other guys. We mentioned a couple of them. You touched on DeAndre Carter. I think you can play him if Mike Williams is out again.
I like him a lot at 3,900.
Definitely. I briefly mentioned Chase Claypool, 3,800.
Yep.
Especially if you're thinking about playing Fields. I got one that might be a little off the board. Looks great with... Well, I wouldn't say great, actually, because of his quarterback, but it looks good with Nick Chubb, and that's Nico Collins, 4,200. He got 9 more targets last week, 6 catches. So I think that's okay. That's what I'm looking at. I don't know anyone. Oh, Mecole Hardman, Valdez Scantling for 4,100, just because nobody's going to play him. I'm with Scott. I like Sky Moore better, but you can take a shot on Valdez Scantling.
Yeah, if I wanted a couple of cheap pieces here down here, I mean, I really like DeAndre Carter. You mentioned him, but 50 snaps in 6 straight games. Like, he's just on the field a ton. 7 for 73 last week with a touchdown, 10 targets. Just a really nice, cheap piece of this game. And under 4,000 for, you know, pairing with Justin Herbert in a game that we both have said we think goes over. I love that. I mentioned Sky Moore, mentioned Zay Jones. The other two names I would get down here, both at 4,600. I think Mac Hollins, if you want a cheap piece of Raiders Chargers. He had a touchdown last week, five targets. I think I'd probably go Carter instead, but Treylon Burks in Tennessee also. Not only the price, but he's just really, really talented. This is a guy that got hurt early in the year. We liked him coming in this season, but 7 for 111 and 4 for 70 on 14 targets over the last 2 weeks. So two pretty big games. Could be a nice game script too. We mentioned earlier how maybe we like Derrick Henry under just because Philly's going to score, get up on Tennessee a little bit maybe. You're going to have Tannehill throw the ball. He seems like he likes throwing the ball to Burks. He has not found anybody to throw to all year long until these last couple of weeks. And it seems like Treylon Burks is kind of emerging here. Fell on the Derrick Henry fumble for a touchdown last week. I saw some people cash in on prop bets. They're like first touchdown score. I was like, yeah, you're just living right. You're living right if that's how you get your Treylon Burks props bet. But 4,600, I think that I really like Burks in this range this week.
Yeah, I agree.
What about at tight end? We've got the two studs at the top. We have Travis Kelce at 7,900, Mark Andrews at 6,600. Mark Andrews dropped the two touchdowns last week, which was maddening. I actually played him. I was really good in tournaments last week. My cash team was terrible for the first time in a while. I had Andrews in cash, and that was tough to watch. Those are the two expensive guys. Then in the middle, we got Hockenson and George Kittle in the 5,000s. We've got the usual names down in the cheap range. What the heck are you doing at tight end this week?
Yeah, I had a ton of Andrews too last week. I hate to say it. I had him in cash too, but I still cashed.
Oh, nice. Hey, don't hate to say that. We want people to listen to you. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that was a lot. Big thanks to Garrett Wilson and a couple other things. But anyways, yeah, tight end. You know, the expensive guys, obviously, but I think at least right now it looks like one of the weakest cheap ranges that I've seen in a while. And you know, people love to play these cheap guys for cash games, so they're going to, I guess, three sort of mid-range cheap guys that people will consider for cash at least right now. Freiermuth, 4,300 starting there, that's the most expensive. I still don't think people just don't like to pay that for Freiermuth though, in cash games at least. Njoku, yeah. Njoku has a good projection for 3,900, assuming he's healthy now that Deshaun Watson's back. And then Foster Moreau, he would probably be one of the most popular just right now. I mean, and you know, it's tough with Foster Moreau, but seven targets last week and another touchdown and just a good matchup. But I don't know, Scott, like, give me something. There's not much this week.
Yeah, I wish I could give you more. If I want to spend a little bit, I do kind of like TJ Hockenson this week at 5,200. He's just been really active with the Vikings. Five plus catches in all four games. His targets last 3 weeks are 9, 9, 9, 9, and 6. Like, that's really pretty good for a tight end at 5,200. I do like that. I'd love to play Kittle. If Debo doesn't play, I think I might play Kittle at 5,000. Very hit or miss, though. The last six games as well. He has three games over 80 yards. Three games under 40 yards. So, like, either you're getting nothing or you're getting a ton. It depends on – he just blocks a lot. It'd have to be no Debo for me. But if no Debo, suddenly he's very clearly the third option after Ayuk and C-Max, so I do like that. If I'm going cheap, which I probably will this week, I think Jordan Akins in Houston is really interesting. He's 2,900. He had five targets last week. He's 5 for 61 touchdown, but he has 60-plus yards and 2 of 3. He carries – absolutely no floor. Like, he could be a zero for sure, but 2,900 in a game that we think that they will trail. I just like the fact that these two out of three have been good games. You give me 60 yards, like, at 2,900 in that range, I'll take that every day. And if I go up a little bit, Hayden Hurst is an interesting cheap piece of the Chiefs-Bengals game. Nine targets last week, 657, although I think that Ja'Marr Chase coming back hurts his target share probably.
Yep, agreed. Hurst was the chalk last week. Chase back. Yeah, I don't know. Tight end is tough this week.
Yeah, it is tough. I'm probably Hockenson or Kittle, but I'm probably more if I play someone with some money. But I probably drop down to Njoku, Hurst, Akins. If it is probably where I go, and probably that Cleveland Houston game is probably where I'm going to end up with tight end, which is kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
Defense. It kind of seemed like a tough week. Nothing jumped out to me, but I'm going to let you go first. What do you like on the defensive side this week?
Tough week for defense. Yeah, I think the cheap cash game defense is going to be the Steelers, 2,600 at Atlanta. You know, it's not great, but they have some good pass rushers, and matchup against Mariota is always okay. For the same price, the Jets look okay, but I think the Steelers will be the cash game choice there. But I think because there's no chalk, sometimes you'll have people go all the way down to maybe even the Titans. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see anything. You gotta give me something, Scott.
I like the Jets. I like the Jets at 2,600. Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, I think that we've got a chance here to – the Jets defense is pretty good. I mean, only had two sacks last week, but that was against against Chicago. But then they had 6, 5, and 6 the 3 weeks prior. Minnesota has – given them some big sack games. They have 7 to the Cowboys 2 weeks ago. They have 4 to the Bills 3 weeks ago. So they've given up some big games. I think the Jets can make a play here. I think that if I would – I would take them over the Steelers this week if I had to. I think just think Atlanta just – it's just so boring. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They just kind of want to run the ball. They want Mary to run the ball. I like a little more openness, for my mistakes. Maybe Cousins throws a pick. Yeah. I think that, and then I really like is tough, but I kind of like the Niners at 3,100. They're priced way down facing Miami, but I think that if Terron Armstead does not play for Miami, there's some rumors he might actually try and give it a go. I think the Niners are going to be able to get after Tua. I think they're going to be able to rush the quarterback. Tua's going to make some plays. But for your fantasy defense, I want sacks. I want some turnovers. Like, I'm not that worried if they give up some scores. I think they're giving up. I think Tyreek and Waddle are going to make some plays. But I think the Niners D will also. So maybe give the Niners a price down this week at 3,100 to get some sacks. Maybe take advantage of a Tua mistake or two.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I just wanted to say I didn't mean to make it sound like it's going to be chalk Steelers over Jets. They actually Steelers and Jets actually project as the two most popular right now. So Jets are right there with Steelers.
It makes me less excited for the Jets.
Still,
I think the Seattle, if you have a few extra bucks against the Rams, are 3,600. The Rams are just an absolute mess on offense right now. Although I think maybe they may go conservative mode and not really open it up. But if they get behind. And Bryce Perkins has to throw it around a little bit. You know, Seattle's got a pretty good chance to make a big play on defense.
Yep.
And then if you go really expensive, I guess the Browns against Houston probably works. The Browns defense is can be pretty explosive. Houston's offense is abysmal, so you can do that. But the 3,900, that's tough to get to with all the name guys we want to play on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I don't see how I'm going to spend up that high this week.
Yeah, I don't either. I think Niners is probably as high as I go on defense at 3,100 this week.
I do like that Niners call. So,
anybody else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to talk about on this slate?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Cool. Well, we appreciate everybody listening as always. We appreciate our sponsorship with No House Advantage. I hope everybody has a really good week. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Ryan's at Ryan Belongi, Belongia. If you want to get a really good soccer picks, I would follow that too because holy hell, he's on fire right now. Although I feel like I've upset him with the Uruguay news, so maybe he's mad about soccer right now. But they almost had a goal there at the end to get up on goal differential, but did not get it, and almost looked like they were trying to attack the ref at the end of the game. So it did not seem like it ended very well for the Uruguay side. Someone had to be held back from going after the ref at the end of the game there. So good times in Uruguay. But I am at Scott Jensen. If you want to follow me on Twitter, we'll be talking probably talking to football as the injury reports come out. Stuff happens, stuff obviously shifts around a little bit. But you've got our main thoughts here. Hope everybody has a really, really good week, and we'll be back at you for week 14 next week. Hope everybody has a great week, and take care.
Thanks, Scott. Good luck, everybody.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.